live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Taoiseach says a zero COVID strategy won't work because of the differing rules here and in Northern Ireland. A St. Order GP has described any easing of the restrictions, though, as being fraught with great danger. Investigations are continuing following the discovery of a dog dumped in a drain in Burnfoot. And serious concern has been raised over a lack of safety measures on part of the new stretch of the N56 at Kilmacrenan Road. First news though, Joe Biden has been sworn in as the 46th President of the United States. The ceremony took place in a quieter Washington where spectators have been replaced by a sea of flags. Kamala Harris has been sworn in as the first female, first black and first South Asian Vice President. Lady Gaga performed the Star Spangled Banner after campaigning for Mr. Biden. Joe Biden has taken the presidential oath of office in the last few minutes.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States
So help you God.
MEPs say the inauguration of Joe Biden as the next US president is an opportunity to strengthen EU-US ties. Transatlantic relations have been strained over the past 4 years under the Trump presidency. This morning, the EU Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen said Europe once again has a friend in the White House. Northwest MEP Maria Walsh, who was born in Boston, says she was relieved to see Donald Trump leave Washington.
You know, as an American-born citizen but raised in Ireland, as someone who got into politics and learned more about politics and the impact democracy has on the world as a teenager watching President Obama, there was a deep sigh of relief as I watched President Trump finally leave the White House.
The Taoiseach says a zero COVID strategy won't work because of the differing rules here and in Northern Ireland. Micheál Martin has been urged by People Before Profit to change the current approach to living alongside the virus. It's likely current restrictions will be extended until the end of February after a cabinet meeting next Tuesday. The Taoiseach Micheál Martin says he doesn't believe a zero COVID approach in Ireland is realistic.
I also said that I didn't believe in that we could achieve a zero COVID strategy and deliver it. And even now, in the context of dealing with COVID, the situation in Northern Ireland is problematic in terms of, for example, even when we banned flights from the UK into the Republic, of course, people flew into Belfast. And the prospect of sealing the border between the North and the Republic is not a reality.
Well, a St. Order GP has described any easing of restrictions as being fraught with great danger. As of last night, there were 113 patients with COVID-19 being treated at Letterkenny University Hospital, 5 in ICU, while there were 90 new confirmed reported cases in Donegal. Dr. Dennis McCauley, chair of the Irish Medical Organisation's GP committee, says we still have a high level of COVID within the community.
I think if you look at the numbers, there's people sort of saying, oh, the numbers are improving. They're improving from an exceptionally high level. So we still have an extraordinary amount of COVID still in the community. So to ease the restrictions now, I think would be fraught with great danger. And I would reiterate that the staff in the hospital are now under severe pressure. They are working in circumstances that I don't think they ever thought they would have to work under. I think we must give them their full support. We must also think of them because they are going through very difficult times, both physically and psychologically.
The Minister for Special Education has apologised for linking the reopening of special schools with the mother and baby home scandal. Josepha Madigan says she was making reference to how vulnerable people have been let down in the past. It comes as the plan to reopen special needs education from tomorrow has fallen apart. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald says it's down to a lack of government consultation with the industry.
Your government has a tendency to dictate policy by press release. I mean, we saw Minister Foley and Minister Madigan racing to gazump each other in the media. And that approach has resulted in very serious implication for children and young people and their families.
Meanwhile, the General Secretary of the Irish Teachers Organisation says he's alarmed at comments made by the Education Minister about him. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Donegal native John Boyle says while everyone has a right to education, everyone has a right to life too, and relevant bodies are trying to strike a balance as it relates to that. Mr Boyle also says every effort will be made to ensure the time lost will be made up for.
I'm disappointed at the blame game because, look, I don't engage in blaming. I understand that everybody who's involved in this is in a very, very difficult position. It's extremely difficult for government. I mean, I'm alarmed at the comments that Minister Foley made this morning, directing her comments directly at me. Our union never, ever asked any of our members not to go back to work this week. But at that meeting yesterday with the stakeholders, it was patently obvious that the stakeholders, the school managerial representatives, parents were uncomfortable with aspects of the plan. I spoke to a teacher last night in front of 300 distressed members in a large town who had a lung transplant. Her school had a big lot of infection in the lead up to Christmas, and she was forced into her school by this government every single day, despite the fact that she was in high risk category and risked her family's life. Education is so important for everybody, and we do have a constitutional right. We also have a right to life. Life is precious. We're trying to balance these two at the moment, and I am determined to ensure that we work with government, and I hope that the blame game stops off, because we need to be constructive and solution focused and solve the problems and get all of the children back. And I can assure all the listeners that once the children with special educational needs are back in school, and the vulnerable children from disadvantaged communities, the teachers will do everything in their power in the SNAs, and it will probably have to include another longer summer programme this year.
Stormont's Health Minister has confirmed the military is to be deployed in Northern Ireland to assist the health service in the fight against COVID-19. Robin Swan asked the Ministry of Defence to help out at what he's described a particularly challenging and critical period for the health service. The move will see over 100 medical technicians provide nursing support to a number of trusts. Minister Swan says hospitals are under immense pressure and additional staff will be welcome on the front line. It comes as another 22 people have died with COVID-19 in Northern Ireland, including 18 in the past 24 hours. 905 new cases have also been confirmed. There are 832 patients in hospital with the virus, which includes 67 in intensive care. Hospitals there are operating at 96% capacity and only 38 ICU beds are available. The government is facing further criticism over its announcement that student nurses and midwives are to be paid €100 a week. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle has described it as completely unacceptable. The government has said it won't oppose a motion calling for student nurses and midwives to be paid. The Dáil's been debating the issue today, with Sinn Féin saying it's shameful the new head of the Department of Health will get a pay rise of €80,000, while student nurses are to receive a new payment of just €100 a week. Echoing those comments, Deputy Thomas Pringle told at all that there are a lot of unanswered questions.
And how can opposition, unions and interested parties examine this recommendation when we haven't even seen the review yet? Minister, people putting their lives on the line might be given €100 per week payment. At the same time, as has been said before here previously, the new Secretary General of the Department of Health is reportedly receiving an €81,000 pay rise, increasing the salary for this position to €292,000. Who sanctioned this? Where did this idea come from? And why has it been pursued when Mr Watt has already been working as Secretary General in the interim? The department said the most highly complex, with a very challenging brief, particularly in the midst of the global pandemic. Was this increase requested as part of the contract negotiation? I think we would need to know that. Has the Secretary General of the department been involved in the vaccination strategy? This week has seen reports of family members of hospital management and construction workers and others receiving leftover vaccinations. What involvement has the Secretary General and the Department had in the vaccination strategies? The TANAIS has recently talking about all these ventilators that we have, but said that we don't have the personnel capacity to use them. Was the TANAIS referring to a warehouse full of usable ventilators? I understand that globally we have been experiencing an unprecedented pandemic, but it is amazing that the money that can be found when deemed as necessary within this government. While huge pay increases are being discussed at Cabinet, like the Tories, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil last year encouraged the public to clap for our healthcare workers. Applause won't pay your rent, Minister, or put food on your table, or pay for your transport to and from work.
Serious concern has been raised over lack of safety measures on part of the new stretch of the N56 Kilmacrennan Road. The Letterkenny Milford Municipal District meeting has heard that there have been a number of incidents involving vehicles sliding out from the Cashelgay and Coolboy Junction into oncoming traffic on the road due to icy road conditions. Councillor Michael McBride is calling on Donegal County Council to write to Transport Infrastructure Ireland as a matter of urgency, asking them to install safety measures on the route. He says a permanent solution needs to be found.
I've raised the issues that there is at the Coolboy Junction a number of times at the municipal meetings. Twice last year, two different people came to me where they'd slid on out to the junction onto the N56 early in the morning, and were lucky that there was no oncoming traffic or it could have been a collision. The Cashelgay Junction going down onto the N56 is a lot steeper than the Coolboy one going out, but it's still very, very dangerous. And, you know, I see there on the PAI's allocation for the year, there was money allocated there for the completion of works on that road. And I would be asking that this municipal district, we would be writing to the TAA and asking them to address them two junctions as a matter of urgency, because when something happens, it'll be too late. And, I mean, probably need some kind of grippy tire or something on them, you know, that we can't expect that this tire at the lorry is going to stop and reverse up them junctions every time it passes. So I think it has to be some type of a permanent solution that needs to be found on them. But I think that we need to write to the TIA and ask them for a response. We can get ice here, maybe anywhere from here to St. Patrick's Day in the morning time, black ice. And it's going to be too late whenever somebody slides on out into the middle of the road and gets hit by some oncoming vehicles.
In supporting Councillor McBride's motion, Councillor John O'Donnell says action needs to be taken before it's too late.
One particular resident rang me one morning dropping their children to school. And I can tell you one thing, and it was a man driving his children to school in the morning. And he had an awful scar, now very, very near escape, going out onto the road. And he was very angry, not only with the council, but as well with myself as a public representative, because he says, I brought this to your attention. And look, I just think that unless we start being a wee bit more proactive on these issues that we might be raising at the time of construction and different stuff, we're going to have to sharpen ourselves up a bit, because we're sitting here now today, as I said, 2 years later, talking about this safety concern that was raised by the local residents. The dogs in the street would know that there was going to be a problem there with the steep incline of this particular road going out onto the N56, the main corridor that's linking Letterkenny to the whole west of Donegal. So it's something that needs to be addressed.
Sport in Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for home workouts at michaelmurphysports.ie with free nationwide delivery.
Time now for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with cross-channel soccer. Both Manchester clubs, United and City, could be top of the Premier League by the end of the night. Second place United play Fulham at Craven Cottage from 8:15, and manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer could rotate a starting 11. He says leaving players out is the most difficult aspect of the job.
I don't enjoy leaving players out. I think it's hard for big games. You know, you've got players who deserve to play. It's a difficult job to call it, tell them they're not in a job on a Sunday afternoon, but then Monday morning again they're back in a job. So that's the chat before that, to explain why they don't play, and that's never an easy one when I don't really have a good reason behind it, because I can give them so many reasons for them to be playing.
Well, Manchester City welcome Aston Villa to the Etihad Stadium for a 6:00 kickoff. Boss Pep Guardiola believes Villa could be at full strength when their counterparts return to action following a coronavirus outbreak, as in-form side are facing a club whose first team haven't played since New Year's Day. Up in Scotland, Celtic will hope to put a disappointing spell behind them when they face Livingston in the Premiership tonight. That one also starts at 8:15. Celtic boss Neil Lennon isn't giving up on beating Rangers to the title. That's despite being 21 points behind the leaders. Most of the players who had to isolate following Christopher Julien's positive test are available again for tonight after missing the last two games. Lennon says the champions will keep going until it's mathematically impossible to catch their old firm rivals.
Listen, the league may be beyond us, but we'll not stop trying. But what we have to do is start winning games on a consistent, regular basis, and, you know, the players have proved they can do that.
It's been confirmed that the new League of Ireland season will commence on March 19th. The date was included on the details of a new agreement with sponsors SSE Airtricity. The Women's National League will get underway a week later. Both competitions will be sponsored by SSE Airtricity for the next 2 years. To boxing, Brett McGuinty will have his second professional fight on the weekend of March 27th. Promoter Mick Hennessy has confirmed middleweight McGuinty and Monaghan Stevie McKenna will be on the bill as both fighters continue in the early stages of their pro careers. The venue and opponents will be confirmed at a later date. St Johnstone native McGuinty won on his debut in December with a points victory over Croatian Jan Arden, winning all but one round in a six-round bout in England. McKenna already has 7 wins under his belt. Promoter Hennessy says the plan is to promote both fighters in Ireland with title shots in mind.
I've been watching these two young men box for many years and been very, very impressed. Brett, tremendous TV fighter also, all action from start to finish. Had a tremendous win there. His debut was way, way too exciting, way too thrilling. They're both going to be fighting regular. And we're going to keep them very, very busy this year. At some point, we will be looking to promote in Ireland. We will be looking to do great things. You know, for the time being, we're just building this situation, but we are building it for a reason. I've done some exciting things in Ireland in the past. When I done Carl Froch versus Jean Pascal on ITV1, we actually done that training camp in County Mayo, Brafey House. And that, for me, was one of the best experiences. With the boys, obviously, we're going to be looking to do special things like that. And we're also going to be, you know, looking when they get close to their first titles. And that could be anything. That could be, you know, it could be an Irish title. It potentially, it could be a WBC Youth World title or something like that. But we will be looking to promote them in Ireland.
In Gaelic Games, Donegal's Aaron Doherty has been named on the Air Grid Under 20, Top 20 for 2020. Doherty was part of Sean Paul Barrett's side, which helped Donegal reach the Ulster final in the early part of last year. Donegal lost to neighbours Tyrone in that decider, and the Red Hand County have 4 players included on the 20 list: Dara Canavan, Cormac Monroe, Ethan Jordan, and Tiernan Quinn. Galway captain Jack Glynn has been named as the Player of the Year, with his manager, Donal O'Faherty, named as the Manager of the Year after leading his squad to provincial and All-Ireland victories, despite it only being his first year in charge. In motorsport, having just completed his first ever Dakar rally, County Tyrone driver Chris Meek has now set his sights on his next challenge. Chris will compete in the Qatar International Rally, the opening round of the Middle East Rally Championship, which starts on the 29th of January. He will race in a Skoda Fabia R5, run by Latvian Sports Racing Technologies, and will be co-driven by Sebastian Marshall. The Qatar event will be Meek's first proper stage rally since he left the World Rally Championship at the end of 2019. And finally this evening, just staying with motorsports, this year's Northwest 200 road racing event has been cancelled. It's the second year in a row that the 200 has been shelved due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It was hoped that races could be held later in the year, but the organisers have gone against an August event. A provisional date of the 8th to the 14th of May has been set for the 2022 Northwest 200. And that's it from the sports desk for today. Michaela, we'll be back with more as usual tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, investigations are continuing following the discovery of a dog dumped in a drain in Burntfoot. The ISPCA say they received a call from a member of the public regarding the deceased German Shepherd found near Ballinahone. Catherine Gaffney has more.
In a statement, ISPCA Senior Inspector Kevin McGinley said he responded to a call from a member of the public and described the discovery as gruesome. The body of the female German Shepherd was found wrapped in a plastic shower curtain and dumped in a drain at Ballinahone in Burnfoot. He says it's shocking and irresponsible to discover an animal discarded in this matter, clearly showing no respect for either the dog or the environment. The deceased dog was scanned for a microchip and no chip was present, making it difficult to locate the owner. Investigations are continuing and the ISPCA are appealing to the public to come forward to assist with their inquiries.
Seamus Wolfe has been listed for the first time as a Supreme Court judge after being on leave due to the Gulfgate controversy. He was one of 80 people who attended the Oireachtas Golf Society event in Clifton last August, which broke COVID guidelines. Chief Justice Frank Clark wanted him to resign, but Mr. Wolfe refused. However, he agreed not to sit as a Supreme Court judge for 3 months, but he has now been listed to begin work there next month. There are calls for a longer-term cross-border healthcare scheme following the end of the EU cross-border healthcare directive. The scheme, which was terminated as a result of Brexit, has been described as a significant success since it began operating in Ireland in June 2014, with the HSE paying out more than €40 million under the initiative over the past 3 years. A new temporary Northern Ireland planned healthcare scheme became operational from January the 1st for 12 months on an administrative basis. But Donegal native and Senator Robbie Gallagher says a more long-term solution needs to be found.
Basically means that it's business as usual for a 12-month period, whereby people from the state who are seeking health care in the north can continue to do so for 12 months and then get reimbursed for that procedure, let it be hip replacement, eye care, knee replacement or whatever. So that's welcome news, and it's important that your listeners would know that. But unfortunately, it's only for a 12-month period, and what I'm calling for is a more long-term replacement for the cross-border health directive, so that people can plan accordingly. You know yourself, Kath, from the day you decide to have a procedure to the day you actually have it, there's a period of time involved there. And I think to give people confidence in availing of the temporary scheme that's in place, we need something more long-term and concrete for people.
Yeah, because as you mentioned, there is quite a lengthy time between that period of getting your appointment and maybe even deferrals and that kind of thing. I'm sure, you know, this temporary scheme doesn't really cut it. People who are affected would be concerned.
Absolutely. I suppose for anybody that's in pain at the moment, the option of getting it done more or less right away in Northern Ireland, for example, is very, very tempting. And I'm sure anybody that goes early in the year, you'd imagine there shouldn't be a delay in that regard. But as the year moves on and in the second half of the year, people would be concerned if they go and get the procedure done, would all the paperwork and all be completed and get themselves reimbursed for their costs by the HSE before year end? So that's an unfair position for people to be in.
Weather now this evening will bring a mix of clear spells and isolated showers. Showers will become more frequent and wintry through late evening and overnight, with a risk of hail, sleet and snow on high ground. Lowest temperatures of -1 to +1 degree and light to moderate westerly breezes. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Joe Biden has been sworn in as the 46th President of the United States. The ceremony took place in a quieter Washington, where spectators have been replaced by a sea of flags. The Taoiseach says a zero COVID strategy won't work because of the differing rules here and in Northern Ireland. Micheál Martin has been urged by People Before Profit to change the current approach to living alongside the virus. Well, Stormont's Health Minister has confirmed the military is to be deployed in Northern Ireland to assist the health service in the fight against COVID-19. Robin Swan asked the Ministry of Defence to help out at what he's described a particularly challenging and critical period for the health service. And serious concern has been raised over a lack of safety measures on part of the new stretch of the N56 at Kilmacrenan Road. The Letterkenny Milford Municipal District meeting has heard that there have been a number of incidents involving vehicles sliding out from the Cashel Gay and Coolboy Junction into oncoming traffic due to icy road conditions. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice says for this Wednesday evening, January the 20th. The death has occurred of Isabel Key, née Mortimer, Hazelview, Creve Smith, Letterkenny and formerly of Remelton. Service of Thanksgiving at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon in Trinity Presbyterian Church, Main Street, Letterkenny, with committal afterwards in Gortley Graveyard. Family flowers only, donations if desired to concern Kerv Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, service and committal are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has occurred of John McKinley, Arahira, Fanad. John's remains will arrive at St Mary's Church, Fanavoldi, at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening to repose overnight. Requiem Mass will be held on Friday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to RSE Donal Residence Fund, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Sally O'Regan, Ballina, Fulcara. Remains are reposing in her daughter Mary's house in Carrowcannon, Fulcara. Removal from there tomorrow after 12 o'clock funeral mass, going to St Finian's Cemetery for private burial. Funeral mass may be viewed live on mcmmedia.tv/camera/Fulcara Parish Church. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial is strictly private to immediate family only. The death has taken place of Annie Bradley, roadside Dumfries, reposing overnight at St Mary's Church, Cock Hill. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, Requiem Mass and burial are strictly private for family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Sadie McGrath, Carwen Burt. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning in St Angus's Church, Burt, at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and Requiem Mass are strictly for family only, with a limit of 10 people permitted. Sadie's Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Burt. The death has occurred of John Sean Ward, Shesh O'Neill, Ballybuffet and formerly Burtonport. Funeral leaving his late residence tomorrow morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Shesh O'Neill. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The funeral mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at facebook.com/St Mary's Shesh O'Neill. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, directly to the Donegal Hospice at idonate.ie. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house, funeral and burial will be strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The recent death has occurred in London of Samuel Dill, formerly of Gorton Atira, Kerry Keel. Burial will take place in London on February the 18th. And the death has taken place of Jean McCarran, Ballyratton, Redcastle. Funeral Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Columbus Church, Drung, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed on stclumbusdrung.net.